Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch, John engineering and producing the show. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, October 25th, 2021, as we enter the last full week of October already. Where does time go? Well, it flies. We're approaching here 11 full years on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. Our worldwide live listening on my website, BuckmasterShow.com and KVOI.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Monday political face-off is the way we begin our show, and it's been that way since the first program in January of 2011. Family owned and run since 1985. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. In other words, Moe will gladly come out and take care of getting what you've got up on the wall and in the proper fashion. They're doing e-commerce as well. Check that out, moesgallery.com, if you'd like to walk into the gallery, and I hope you do. They're at Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen. Our Monday political face-off commentator is with us today. To my right, John Munger, Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, Republican candidate for governor in 2010, and former chair of the Republican Party in Arizona. Jeff Rogers, also a well-known Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Gentlemen, good to see you. John, how are you?
Good to see you both. Yeah.
Hey, Jeff, what's going on?
Oh, it was a beautiful weekend.
Beautiful weekend, but a shocking Saturday. First of all, we want to extend our best wishes to Chuck Huckleberry, Pima County Administrator, and to his family. Mr. Huckleberry remains today, this afternoon, in critical condition after being struck by a vehicle while riding his bicycle in downtown Tucson on Saturday morning. The TucsonSentinel.com quoted a source saying Mr. Huckleberry was struck by a vehicle that was involved in a collision with another vehicle on Broadway. The vehicle ricocheted into Mr. Huckleberry and his bicycle. Now, there's been no official word on his injuries. Jan Lesher, who is the chief deputy county administrator, did send out a memo and email to county employees yesterday, and it had kind of a hopeful theme in there, and that's good news, offering promising hints at a full recovery. And we certainly hope, Jeff and John, that that's the case. Mr. Huckleberry turns 72 next month. John, he's an avid cyclist, as you know. In fact, the loop, the Chuck, it's now called the Chuck Huckleberry Loop. It's a popular path for cyclists named after him.
Yeah, Chuck's a great guy. I like Chuck personally.
You've known Chuck forever.
Forever. And he's a great guy, and he's controversial, but he's smart and he's tough. And, you know, we've all learned over the years, you don't take on Chuck Huckleberry lightly.
Nope.
And so I give him my best, and he's in my prayers.
Yeah, he's certainly a fighter, Jeff.
Yes, I bump into him almost on a daily basis downtown when he's on his way to the YMCA or leaving the YMCA. So, you know, he's a pretty fit guy, and, you know, we certainly hope that that he recovers and has a full recovery.
And the county's in good hands. I've known Jan Lesher forever, just like I've known Chuck for pretty much ever. And Jan, Jeff, and John,
she's a very able, competent woman.
Competent, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're very lucky to have her.
And then the news about Mr. Huckleberry came first on Saturday. Then this one really hurt. Not that Mr. Huckleberry's didn't, but former Arizona Attorney General Grant Woods, someone I've known for, like John and Jeff, for a long time. I think I first interviewed Grant on TV at least 25 years ago. Grant Woods died Saturday after apparently a massive heart attack. This was really tough. I mean, he'd been as recently as about a month ago on this program, kind of a semi-regular contributor to our show. John... Your thoughts about Grant Woods?
Well, I've known Grant for 40 years. Met him back in the early mid 80s. and when he was working with John McCain. And, you know, Grant's was a very smart guy, very articulate, very caring person. Didn't always agree with him on the issues. Got sideways with him a couple of times. But I always had respect for him, and he was a good man.
Was he the AG when you were the chairman of the state Republican Party? Because you were chair like about how
mid-80s.
Many years? Oh, I can't remember.
No, I think Bob Corbin was.
Okay. But
before Grant.
Yeah, but Grant and Jeff, I mean, how long have you known Grant?
Oh, for years. He was an outstanding attorney general. I mean, like Terry Goddard, he was somebody who put politics aside when he got elected attorney general, and he was the people's lawyer, and he was an outstanding trial lawyer as well. So like John said, he's a very smart guy. I mean, don't never underestimate him. So we're very sorry to hear about that. And he, you know, was kind of an old school Republican that, you know, that kind of his party left him. He didn't really leave the party, I don't think. But we'll certainly miss him in Arizona.
Grant Woods was 67, gone far too soon. Tomorrow, John Munger, we have Juan Ciscomani, Republican candidate for Congress in District 2. You like Juan a lot.
Oh, I think Juan Ciscomani is top-of-the-line guy. I've got my hands full doing other things, but...
Would you have gotten in the campaign?
I would have definitely. I've sent him money, a substantial sum of money.
Oh, you did send some money?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Early. And Juan Ciscomani is a class act, and he is the kind of person that has a political compass. He knows where he's going, but he's always open and honest and very honest, forthright guy, very experienced, and he's done very well for himself. And his beautiful wife, Laura, have, I think, 5 kids now.
Yeah, I think so.
And they're beautiful kids. And Juan Ciscomani is the kind of guy I'd like representing us in Congress.
On the other side, how's that race shaping up on the Dems?
Well, you have former State Senator Kirsten Engel and current representative from LD2, Daniel Hernandez, running against each other. I think probably the edge in that race probably right now goes to Engel because Hernandez doesn't appear to be getting quite as much traction. And I haven't seen the fundraising figures for the last quarter, but I know Engel's been a relatively prolific fundraiser. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that shapes up as time goes by. But I think probably I'd give the edge to Engel.
Dr. Freeze dropped out of the race.
Right, and he would have been an outstanding candidate as well.
And so this could come down to Engel and Ciscomani. I guess they would be considered the front runners. What would that matchup look to you, John?
It would be a very tough race. It's a pretty even district.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to say I think Ciscomani wins that one. I think that he will appeal to just a lot of people. He's such a wonderful person.
Would you call him like a very personable?
Personable. He's friendly. He cares about people. He knows the issues. He can talk about politics in a friendly way. But he's got a political compass, and, you know, he will tell you what he thinks. He'll be respectful. He's open to listening. He'll be a great candidate, and I think, frankly, if I had to lay down money, and I have laid down money supporting him, I think he's going to win.
You already wrote a check, yeah. Jeff, what do you think?
Well, I think...
And what about the Trump factor?
If he is indeed the nominee, you know, he'll be a tough opponent for Engel or Hernandez, if Hernandez should survive this. But my concern, if I were a Republican and I were sitting in John's chair, is that there will be some kind of Trumper candidate that goes out there and emerges sometime soon and presents a real problem for Ciscomani in the Republican primary. I mean,
I don't think that's so. What
we're seeing across the nation. And a good example is in Ohio, in the Ohio Senate race. You know, it's like you've got half a dozen people running, and the contest is who's Trumpier than who. And Ciscomani doesn't strike me as a Trumpy kind of guy.
Yeah, so.
And that's the danger for Republicans, is that, you know, their best candidate sometimes gets knocked off in a primary by, you know, a Trump acolyte. And that would be my concern if I were sitting in John's chair.
Yeah, I'm not concerned about that. I think Juan is way ahead right now in terms of his support, his ability to fundraise. I think he'll do great.
So you think a lot of people coalescing around him in the Republican
Absolutely.
Party? Absolutely. Okay.
And lastly, yeah, we don't know what that district's going to look like yet.
Oh, that's the other thing. Hey, we keep waiting. I thought it was supposed to be the last week of October, but I guess not. Anyway, let's talk about everybody's favorite bakery, and all three of us agree on that it's Mona's Danish Bakery. The owner and chief baker, Steve, tells me that John Munger paid a visit.
I did.
Fairly recently to Mona's, and they're still buzzing about it up at Mona's.
I've been up there several times.
Well, Mr. Munger's most recent visit up there, and Steve was just so happy.
I had a wonderful Danish Kringle.
There you go.
It was to die for. I love those things.
Would you have a cup of coffee with it? Or just...
Oh, I had a brunch with it.
Okay, good. Yeah. And Jeff, we know you love Mona's.
Oh, yeah. It's very good.
Yesterday we had, let's see, what did we take home? We took home a chocolate croissant, and my wife loves the cherry Danish. And because, Jeff, we've talked about this, and John, I love the bacon that they do.
Oh, they do great bacon.
Oh, my goodness. So we took a couple sides of bacon, actually, to go. And did our eggs and added that to the eggs when we got home. We just were eating at home yesterday, but we still wanted the Mona's touch. Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise, their website's monasdanishbakery.com. Back with our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. I was over and saw Moe and his wonderful, competent, beautiful daughter, Corinne, yesterday, and they wanted me to say hello to all of Moe's friends, and he has a bunch of them. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the Greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Tom Sullivan here, inviting you to join the rest of us who spend every weeknight from 7 to 10 with the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Here we go. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's shop is over right next to Copenhagen, Fort Lowell, and Dodge. And I also invite you to look at their website, which gives you a beautiful sample of the kind of things they have at the gallery, and talks a little bit about the way they can do such excellent framing. Their website is Moe's Gallery, M-O-S, then gallery.com. Jeff Rogers and John Munger are with me for our Monday political face-off. Is it time, Jeff Rogers, for the Democrats to hit the panic button? Is it too little, too late for Joe Biden?
No, I don't think so. That old saying, if you like sausage and you respect the law, you should never watch either one of them being made, comes to mind here. It's a difficult problem, and part of it is the diversity of the Democratic Party becomes, in a way it's our greatest strength, in a way it's our greatest weakness. I mean, when you've got a party as diverse, to have someone like Octavio Cortez on the left and Joe Manchin on the right and everything in between, it's kind of hard to put together a consensus. And so I think that we'll get there. We'll get this done. But not everybody's going to be happy with the result. Particularly the most liberal members of Congress are not going to be as happy, because there's going to be a few things that they wanted in this bill that they're not going to get. One of the things that's already looks like it's on the way out is free community college for 2 years.
Yeah, it looks like that one has been jettisoned.
Yes, looks like that one's, been jettisoned. And there are probably going to be some other things that get jettisoned in order to get this thing down to a number that the more conservative members of the party can live with. And so I'm confident that we'll get there. Joe Biden's got a lot of experience from the Senate, from doing this for decades and decades. And I'm really confident that we'll come up with a package that is acceptable to everyone, but no one's going to be really happy with it.
Too many goodies, John.
Oh, the issue is whether it's time for the Democrats to panic. And Jeff is talking exclusively about this huge tax and spending bill the Democrats are still trying to put together, that they tried to get done in August, then September, and they're still working on it. But if you look at the overall big picture, Joe Biden's approval rating has dropped more than any president since
Carter.
No, even more than Carter and he's now down to 37. There's a couple of polls out there that have him at 37%. The Democrats, in any case, are going to be facing, in a normal election year, a loss of seats in Congress, which is good for Juan Sisconi, incidentally. And I think, you know, that we're only four or five seats behind, something like that, where Republicans are. I think we're going to pick up something minimum of 10 seats in Congress, largely because of Joe Biden's senility. The guy's senile, his unpopularity, and his inability to solve problems. I think we may pick up as many as 60 seats in Congress, and maybe a Senate seat or two. But the problem is, if you look at what's going on in this country, the country's in chaos. We've got a border that's out of control. We got inflation that's growing. It is not. It is persistent. It's not temporary, as Biden told us it would be. We've had this terrible disaster in Afghanistan. We've got Taiwan out there, and the Chinese developing this hypersonic missile that we don't have. And the funding for that, incidentally, was cut off by Obama and back in 2012 or 13.
So you're saying the country's in a mess.
What problem do we have that wasn't created by Joe Biden? I just ask you to think about
all
that.
Right.
The border, everything else, inflation.
Jeff's probably got an answer. Jeff, would you give your answer,
first start
and then
with,
we'll go to a caller.
Let's
We've
first
got a caller
go
on the line.
To the border. The border, okay. The border is about like it was in 2019. In 2020, it was improved probably because of the COVID virus. But in 2019, the figures from then are virtually identical to the figures we're seeing at the border right now. And I think that's, again, as COVID has gotten to be, you know, less of a problem. It's still a big problem, but less of a problem. Then we see that border crossings start to increase again. So, you know, this border issue has been a problem for 50 years, and it's going to continue to be a problem. It's not going to go away. People are cross for economic reasons. They cross because they're being terrorized in their countries in Central America. There are a multitude of reasons why people try to come to the United States, and it's going to continue, and it's going to be something that just we have to deal with on a daily basis. And I think the Biden administration is going to do it well and as humanely as possible, unlike the prior administration.
All right, let's go to caller Matt. Matt would like to join our conversation. He called on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Hey, Matt.
Hey, you know, it's been a sobering weekend with, you know, Grant Wood's and with Chuck's situation. And,
yep.
And it really shook me. And I get a lot of calls and emails and letters and from people, you know, on LinkedIn and other things, commenting about. So I really feel how it's affected people. Real quickly, politically, I think the number one issue that's going to destroy both parties, they're playing with mutually assured destruction, is the debt ceiling. We cannot go through. Yeah, I will make this brutally clear to both parties. If my mother's Social Security check doesn't show up, or if the VA, with all of the problems going on with supply chains, has to also deal with the debt ceiling and a cut of funding or whatever, you can name any agency, whatever. Both parties, it's over. I'm telling you, it's over. I mean,
all right,
everybody's
Matt.
Ready to leave the Republican Party and the Democratic Party.
Okay.
Let me respond to that. The debt ceiling's going to get raised. Don't worry about it. It's going to get raised. The question isn't whether the debt ceiling is going to get raised. The question is it going to have to get raised enough to take in several more trillions of dollars to accommodate the Democrats' tax spending bill? And
but you're saying it's going to get raised, and you tell them not to worry about it.
Yeah, not to worry about it. So, but I ask very seriously your listeners, the COVID mandates that are causing so much disruption in our economy, with people feeling, as a matter of conscience, they have to let themselves be fired. Biden's got using unconstitutional power that will be challenged over a period of time in the courts. That's illegal. It's authoritarian government. You've got the problem with our logistics and getting goods in and out of the country. what problem out there hasn't been started and created by Joe Biden?
All right, Jeff, and then we'll go to another caller on the line. Go ahead to Matt.
It shouldn't be a political football. We've got to get past this. This is ridiculous. We need to have no debt ceiling, period. If we want to control spending, then we control spending by controlling spending. But we don't have this arbitrary debt ceiling sitting there like a bomb about to go off if we can't all agree on it. And that's just ridiculous.
All right, let's
see. No other country has anything like that.
All right, let's see if we can get in Rick Grinnell. Rick, real quickly, sir.
Yes, sir. I've been driving cross country over the last 4 months. I'm actually leaving Texas into your friend's state of New Mexico, heading home again. Everywhere I've been, and I've hit 15 states in the last 4 months, I have seen more help wanted signs.
Yeah.
And I've been in more hotels that say we can't get anybody because they don't need the job, because they're getting more on unemployment and all these other benefits. Let's increase the taxpayer base and quit worrying about the debt ceiling. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you,
well,
Rick.
Well, here's the problem. We've had 5 million people drop out of the job base. And why? 5 million people are no longer looking for jobs. Why? Because the welfare state, and they're getting so much money not
That's
to work.
That's all ended, John. It's all the no, all those extended benefits are over with and done with. There's no more unemployment benefits available to these people, and most of them have gone. And I find that to be a very fascinating, interesting economic phenomenon of why people are still leaving jobs and not working.
Okay,
they're not working because there are so many other government programs that you can latch onto. I run into them every
quickly,
day.
John. Okay, we're going to have to go, and thanks to the callers, thanks to John Munger and Jeff Rogers, thanks to Mo and our Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing. Midway Point, Monday show, Buckmaster, take a break right here. We'll be back to talk about real estate with the president of the Tucson Association of Realtors.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit. ReedParkZoo.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? Well, not all news is good news. You know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Had a little pause there because I just spilled a bottle of water on the desk, and hopefully the water will not migrate toward my laptop computer. Have to build a little dam here. I know. I think I've got it under control. John is going to help me out and bring in some paper towels so I can build a little dam so it does not migrate to the computer. Thank you very much, John. I think we can catch it in time. We certainly can catch in time the fall gardening, because the place to go for all of your gardening is Green Things. We love Green Things and their sister business, Zocalo Village. Green Things has been in business for 51 years. Open daily, beautiful location on 13 acres, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. And on the site is Zocalo Village, five shops dedicated to and filled with merchandise, beautiful merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Here are a couple of websites for you to check out: greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village, and our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And speaking of the live line, let's go now on the live line to Diane Marzoni. Diane is the president of the Tucson Association of Realtors. Diane, how are you?
I'm really good, Bill. Thank you very much for having me back.
Well, it's always a pleasure. We had you on, I don't know, maybe in the summer, some early summer sometime. We were talking about the very hot at the time, red hot, almost as hot as a very hot summer day in Tucson, real estate market. Have things cooled off a bit, Diane?
That's probably the greatest word, is a bit. I would love to take this as my own, but I heard another agent put it this way. 3 months ago or so, we were speeding down the freeway at 110 miles an hour. And now we're doing about 85. So mm-hmm. we're still speeding, but we're not speeding as drastically as we were 3 months ago.
So people are still, well, at the time we talked to you before, they were actually, some would get into a bidding war over a property. Is there still some of that, or is it very dependent on, as they say in your business, Diane, location, location, location?
Right, and I would maybe take one of those locations away and just put in price points, because I think there is a certain section or a group of homes that are still going to get that multiple offer, get that really desired reaction from the buyers out there because it's more affordable. And I think that's the challenge that we have probably nowadays, is how much affordable inventory do we actually have? And I mean, I think that the thing that I've seen and I've heard from other agents is that things are ticking on the market. They're staying on the market a little bit longer than they were before. So they're not selling in that hot minute, you know, 22 hours on the market of selling. But they're still getting, I mean, if you think back maybe, say, 5 years ago when things were on the market for 90 days, 120 days, that's when people started getting worried. At 4 months, why isn't my house not selling? And now they're on the market for 7 days, and they're saying, why am I not selling? Because they're on just a little bit longer than they were before, but they're still selling at a really good time. I mean, days on market is down. I mean, I'm sorry, is down, but it increases in the percentage. So last year, about 24 days on market. Now we're looking at more like 14. And I think when we spoke back in July, we were looking at more about 5 to 7 days on the market. So we're ticking up a little bit. The inventory is ticking up just a little bit. And that's a good thing for all of us, I think.
Yeah, we didn't have, when I talked with you in July, you were sharing with our listeners that inventory was really at a critical point.
It was. And to give you some reference, if we go back a couple of years, we had about 0.7 months of inventory, which is crazy. Mm. Now we're kind of a 1.1. So we're creeping back up there. And I mean, I was just involved in actually multiple, we lost out on it, and it was a $700,000 house. So there's still movement kind of across the board. But the challenge I think that I've seen is getting that affordable part in there, getting a house that's somewhere between a 2 or 250, 275 range where that first time home buyer can come in and actually be able to afford it. That's the struggle I think that we're going to have right now.
Diane, one of our friends shared with us that he was up in Mesa over the weekend and was told that they're holding lotteries for open house lots on developments that won't even be started for many months. And he wanted me to ask you, where are all these people coming from? Are they coming from California, Texas, combination of both, or what?
I think there is a good combination of a lot of different states that are coming here. And California, I would say, has probably the biggest percentage. And I think that what COVID taught all of us is that we don't need that brick and mortar store anymore. The idea of being able to work from home was really a great option for a lot of these folks, especially when we were dealing with a pandemic. And so you have folks that live in a state where real estate is really expensive, you know, $3-4 million homes. If they could sell that, come here and pay cash for something and work from home and still be able to do what they were doing in California, but live a little bit less expensive than they were, why wouldn't you do that? But I think the downside of that is the folks that come and pay cash for something aren't necessarily going to do an appraisal, where I think that might get us into some kind of strangeness where somebody, an appraiser that's actually doing a conventional loan appraisal, goes in there and says, well, I have a cash deal, but there's no basis. They paid that much because they wanted it, and they really wanted it, so they paid over. And I'm hoping that doesn't come and kind of bite us in the took us later on. But in all over, I think not just California, but other states as well.
Your business has really changed since COVID about this virtual screening of homes. Is that still very popular?
Very much so. In fact, I'm also not only president of the association, but I hang my license with an agency here, and I'm on their relocation team. So I have a lot of folks that will call me and say, I'm looking for a home, and they can't get here because they haven't done that whole transfer. The employer hasn't done the whole process yet. And we'll do a video walkthrough of the house, and that's the closest that they're going to get until they come to do their inspections, if they do come
wow.
for inspections. So we still have that. In 2020, I did 6 sight unseen homes. And that's a little crazy, but that was the market we were in, and people had to kind of adjust their sales and do what it took to get a house.
These would be people then that they'd buy the home, Diane, and they would drive up when they get to town and say, oh, here's my house. First time I've seen it. I mean, in person.
Pretty much. And usually if I have to deal with one or the other spouses, I usually want to deal with the wife because she's usually the one that makes the decisions, right? So because I have heard of stories where the family gets to the house and the wife, you know, says, wait a second, I don't like this, you know, the way that the kitchen is or
right,
something like that.
Right.
So it's a challenge. But yeah, videos and doing virtual stuff is very, very popular right now.
Okay, Diane, we're going to let you go, but it sounds like, to summarize our conversation, things are, if we said they were red hot, they're now a little bit cooler, but not much.
Exactly. And I do want to, Bill, I do want to give you a shout out to, or a shout out to Louis DeTore, who is our new real estate commissioner for the Department of Real Estate of Arizona. He had his first day today as the actual commissioner. We did our commissioner connection at the association this morning. So good shout out to him because I'm really excited for him.
How do you think he'll do?
Oh my gosh. The guy he's just amazing. And what a better person to learn from than Judy Lowe, who is a recognized, well-respected woman full of information, and she's a nice person. So what better shoes to try to fill? So good luck to Lewis out there.
All right, Diane Marzoni. Always a pleasure to check in with you, Diane. We will do it again in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
All right, Diane Marzoni, president of the Tucson Association of Realtors. Hey, it's about time we talk about the Arizona football team. I know it's a subject we kind of want to avoid. They've lost, 19 straight games. We have Anthony Jimeno coming up next on the Buckmaster Show to talk a little Wildcat football.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Kate Delaney. Join me tonight for a conversation about what's happening in the world that affects you. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Bill Buckmaster back with you in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. New Mexico is so beautiful this time of year, especially in the high country. Silver City and Grant County, our longtime sponsor, urging all of our Southern Arizona friends and listeners to pile in the car or truck. Take the three-hour drive east of Tucson. This is a perfect time of year to enjoy the autumn color. The transition season in the high country is so beautiful. Start your visit by going to Southwest New Mexico. Just spell that out, .org, for information about where to stay and so many things to do, very tempting things to do. You'll be very surprised how much there is to do over there. Anthony Jimeno is, well, he's been covering sports in this town for over a quarter of a century. We're delighted he's a contributor to the Buckmaster Show. He is the senior editor for Lindy's Football Annuals, and he is the he's actually the co-founder of a local blog that's turned out to do very well called AllSportsTucson.com. Hey, AG, how are you?
How you doing, Bill?
Doing pretty well, and I shared this on Facebook a week or so ago. I have 2 degrees from 2 institutions, from the University of Arizona and the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Anthony Jimeno, what do those 2 universities have in common when it comes to their football programs?
Well, they have a combined 0 wins. and they're the only 2 programs to have the big 0 next to their name this season. So I don't know, Bill. You're the common denominator.
It kind of seems that way. I mean, it's crazy. I thought we had a chance. I felt Washington, that would be a winnable game. And it turned out it could have been. I don't see the next winnable, and maybe the only one left now on the schedule will be, I think, the homecoming game after this week's game on the road at USC will be the Cal Golden Bears, who are, I think they've won only 1 game. They're not very good.
Yeah, you've got Cal and Utah at home, and then the Cats finish at Washington State, which they're hard to get a read on right now because of their crazy coaching situation, and then the finale at ASU, of course. But I agree with you. I thought going into the Washington game it was winnable because Washington's not nearly what everybody thought they were going to be this year. And remember, they started the season ranked number 20 in the country. But they are far from that, and they were really struggling at quarterback. And I thought, okay, I think this matchup is one at home on a Friday night. Arizona can get up for this and win. And for 3 or more quarters, I really thought they were going to.
Mm-hmm.
They were, and, you know, I think people were probably rightfully frustrated after this one because Arizona was up 16-7, had 1st and 10 at the Washington 28. I mean, they were really close to slamming the door on the Huskies.
Yeah.
And Will Plummer throws what, you know, Jed Fish said later, he thought was like the safest pass they could call, but Will Plummer kind of throws it into a grouping of players, and this 300-pound Washington lineman ends up with the ball in his hands for an interception. Oh, I mean, they're just very creative in finding ways to lose. But, you know, Arizona did something better. This was probably their best special teams game in a long, long time, where they hit 3-for-3 field goals, including a 50-yarder. They punted great. They blocked a punt that got them the first score of the game. That part of the game was great. Defense was mostly good. They got a lot of pressure on that quarterback, which they needed to do. But turnovers and penalties. I mean, if you're Arizona and you're facing a talent deficit in most every game, you got to play the best you can possibly play. And that includes winning the turnover battle and not being stupid with penalties. And they've really not been able to avoid those two things this year.
You know, it becomes a curiosity now with this long winning streak that I think actually could help bring more people out to the stands for the Cal game, because it's almost like, gee, I want to be there when the streak is broken. I want to, like, rush onto the field like another university that I attended in the summer, Northwestern University, which has the longest to this day, 34 straight losses. But when they finally broke the losing streak, the fans just poured out onto the field, and it was an all-night celebration in Evanston, Illinois. There you go.
Protect the goalposts. Protect the goalposts.
Yeah.
Can't let those fall. Yeah, it's, you know, maybe Arizona steals one. It would be nice. I mean, I know this, to me, this season was never going to be about wins and losses.
No.
I mean, sure, would you feel better if they won a couple of games? Yeah. But as long as Jed Fish in his first year kind of keeps the guys together, you know, this is 2021 college football, so you know some guys are going to be transferring and entering the portal at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you keep that to a reasonable amount, you don't see like a mass exodus of players. You don't see assistants suddenly bailing for other sideways jobs. If he keeps the recruiting class together, and so far pretty good on that front, that's going to be the win he needs to get. And then next season, yeah, okay, you better start showing me some wins, because you can only ride, you know, you can't keep the recruiting momentum and you can't keep good feelings going if you're going into year two without any, or you're into year two without any wins. But it seems to me he's still got a pretty good handle on keeping the guys together, keeping them all positive. You know, they're not playing well late in games by any means, but some of that's just talent related, Bill, you know. And when you're the lesser talented team, over time, that's going to show up. I don't think they're like giving up, or they're not exactly being knuckleheads all the time. So
no.
I'm still seeing some good things.
Yeah, and some of his coaching, I think he's learning as a head coach. And I've heard a lot of fans grumbling about, okay, you know, run the ball. What do you have to lose? Try to keep run the ball hammered at these people, but you start throwing the ball and then it gets intercepted. So maybe the ground game, he needs to go back to kind of a fundamental ground game.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly, you know, we could sit here and pick apart individual decisions, play calls.
Oh, yeah.
Things like that. Totally. I'm not giving him a pass on that, because maybe there's some things strategically and in-game decisions that would have maybe made a difference in a couple of these close games, because as you remember, they took BYU into the fourth quarter, UCLA,
right,
Oregon, and now Washington into the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
That any one of those with a little bit of change in the timeline here and there, they could have won those games. So yeah, I think there's part of some frustration in terms of individual play calls or going for it, not going for it. To me, I'm kind of the opposite. Okay, the run game is okay. They don't take any big shots downfield.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see them take, maybe the personnel is just not there, but there's guys like Stanley Berryhill, Tucson kid, who's playing very well. We saw another Tucson kid, Stevie Rocker Jr., at running back. He kind of got his most playing time of the year last week. He looked really good. So if you look, if you squint your eyes hard enough, Bill, I think you can see some good things. But for right now, it's kind of some gallows humor around the Arizona, you know, when you're talking about Arizona football.
All righty. And in the remaining 10 seconds, Arizona basketball with its new coach. That'll be pretty good, you think, huh?
I think so. I think they're fringe top 25 talent, to be honest. I think this is the year to get back to the tournament and see what happens. But they got a shot for sure. They're going to be very interesting, probably a lot more fun to watch than some of the recent additions.
All right. Anthony Jimeno, All Sports Tucson. Thank you, Anthony.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, we're going to break it right there at the Buckmaster Show. We'll put together a very full hour for you. Dave Ramsey has his program coming up talking about money, the Dave Ramsey Show, a very popular program here on KVOI, The Voice. On behalf of John Couch Engineering and producing the show, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.